And this is Pedro Reyes. You are tuned in to KPFA 94.1 FM. And right now we're going to be going to Arizona and talking to Francisca Pocha, who's going to be telling us a little bit about what's going on over there. And, you know, in the sense of what's been happening with these laws that are anti-immigrant. And also, you know, what are some of the up and coming events that are going to be taking place around some of that activity that's going on over there. So welcome to the show. How are you, Francisca?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Nice. And so let's go ahead and get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do out there.
Well, I'm the organizing director for Puente Movement in Phoenix, Arizona. We are a grassroots organization in the Maricopa County area where Sheriff Joe Arpaio has operated for many years but has attacked the immigrant community for at least the last 10 years. And then also we've been at the forefront, at the front lines of the struggle against the attack on immigrants here in Arizona, but also across the country.
Right on. And tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
Well, there's a lot, but as you know, the last big announcement that was made was President Obama's announcement on May 20th that he was going to grant a temporary immigration legal status to about 4.5 million people. That's a direct result of our struggle over the last 4 years as part of the national campaign, Not One More Deportation. And so because that was such an important thing, we want to ensure that that actually gets implemented. It's caught up in the courts right now, but 7 million people have been left out. So we have 11 million people that are undocumented in the country. President Obama is trying to give temporary status to 4.5, so that there's 7 million that remain that are totally unprotected and that could be deported at any time. And so for us, our priority is to protect all those people who will not qualify for President Obama's relief, as it's being called, and who at any point could be racially profiled and stopped by police or handed over to ICE and then deported. Unfortunately, the deportation machine hasn't stopped. And so for us, our priority is to continue fighting to ensure that the ICE and police stop collaborating in our communities, not only in Arizona, but across the country, so that our people won't be cut up, detained, and deported, and our families won't be separated.
Yes, that's right. You know, and we've definitely, you know, we were talking to, I think it was some folks from the ACLU, Northern ACLU out here in California, and they were just kind of like going down the list of what were some of the implementations that would happen with this kinds of laws, you know, that would go into place and basically, or the requirements actually to become qualified for this 4.5 million you know, status, right? And basically, it came down to it almost sounded like it was just right out of the immigration book, the handbook, where it tells you what your, you know, requirements are to go get citizenship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't seem like there was, you know, kind of like, you know, because you still have to go and check your background, right? You still have to go and make sure you don't have a record and that, you know, if anything, that you can still be able to get deported, right? Even if you try to apply for this program and you think you qualify, there might be something that you might not know. So, you know, that's a reality too, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's caught up in the court. So even if you qualify, you're still, I mean, it might not go into implementation until next year. For us, we feel like even though 4.5 million people were given legal status, even though it's temporary, that then Obama's going to turn around, which he's already committing to doing, and criminalizing the rest of the people. So some people are getting released, and then everybody else is deemed undeserving. And so we have 7 million people that are in danger, pretty much, whether His whole line is felons, not families. And so for us, felons are families. And so many people have been criminalized because of these terrible anti-immigrant laws that a lot of our members, at least at Puente, are felons because their daily lives have been criminalized, whether it's working, whether it's driving, whatever it is. Not being able to present any type of ID when approached by a police officer. And we also have members who have made mistakes, right? So there are members who have committed some type of crime, but that doesn't mean that they're any less human or that their families are going to suffer any less than anybody else's family from being separated. And so we feel like felons are families, and so our whole campaign is pushing back on that framework and really trying to ensure that our people are not targeted even more now, because now that Obama has decided 4.5 million people are okay and they're deserving of staying in the country and they're the squeaky clean immigrants who have citizen children, then that means they're going to turn around and hyper-criminalize everybody else. And so we're going to have a march coming up next Thursday, April 23rd, outside of the state capitol. April 23rd, 2010, was when SB 1070 was formally adopted by the state Arizona state legislature, marking, I think, a really huge historical moment for pretty much the entire immigrant community in the country. Because as you know, then there started to be all kinds of copycat laws and immigrants started being attacked across the country. And so we're marking the fact that we resisted for 5 years and that we have fought back and that we've won and that we've been able to gut SB 1070, we've been able to protect our people, and that we still have a lot of work to do. And so that's going to be next Thursday, and our new campaign is called ICE Free AZ, because ultimately what we want is to ensure that ICE, which is Immigrant Customs Enforcement, and police departments locally stop collaborating.
Most definitely, and you know, it seems like, okay, we got this 4 million illusion, you know, that they're going to become citizens soon, but hopefully, you know, it doesn't sound like it's going to be, you know, when Obama's still in presidency, right? And then that fact also, you know, brings up that, you know, hope word that he used in his campaign, you know, we're hoping or hope, we hope that he will, you know, make this a reality rather than an illusion as it is right now, because again, those folks are still, you know, vulnerable to being deported as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think until they physically obtain their official, like, ID card that says that they have temporary status, everybody's vulnerable. The 11 million are vulnerable to criminalization, to deportation.
That's right. And once again, you know, we're seeing that, you know, he's trying to give this illusion of he really wants to make this happen for, you know, the nation, you know, and basically, but it's been 5 years, you're saying, in Arizona, just alone, and where it's been going an ongoing thing where this law, SB 1070, like you're saying, once it was implemented, he didn't really do much about it and hasn't done much about it in these 5 years that he's been in presidency as well, right?
Yeah, over both of his terms, Obama has deported 2.5 million people. There has been no other president in the history of the United States that has deported so many people. So it was Bush Jr. who adopted some of these federal programs that allowed or even promoted ICE and police departments to collaborate to detain and deport people. But when Obama came in, he essentially, it was almost like he injected steroids into these programs and really went all out in ensuring that they got implemented and that immigrants were targeted. So that's why he's called by the immigrant rights movement as the deporter in chief, because he has focused a lot on criminalizing and deporting. And he didn't have to do that. It was actually, it doesn't make it, nobody was forcing him or pressuring him to doing that. It was really all out of his own initiative. And so at this point, one of the concepts that we've been trying to popularize is there's more than one way to stop a deportation. So he's saying 4.5 million people, they're not going to get deported. It's a protection from deportation program. He doesn't want to even call it legalizing. He wants to call it protection from deportation. But what we're saying is there's more than one way to stop a deportation. And another way to stop it is to just stop deporting people. Put a stop to the collaboration between ICE and police departments, and stop assisting police departments in becoming ICE agents and terrorizing our people. And so if he really wanted to, he could essentially stop those federal programs from being implemented, and he clearly does not want to.
That's right, you know, and we're seeing also the fact that, you know, he is not really doing much about the human, violations that are going on with the 60,000 plus kids now that are still sitting in different warehouses and literally ship-shaped made cells, you know, like the SPCA cages, so to speak, with aluminum blankets, I guess, and literally overcrowding situations as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's such hypocrisy of this country to, well, first of all, the whole children's crisis was, yes, there's definitely a children's crisis. The children are coming from Central America and from Mexico. There's no doubt about that. But he definitely, I feel like the administration made a really big deal about it because they wanted to distract from the fact that they were stalling on announcing any type of legalization program. And this was before he announced that 4.5 million people were going to be eligible. And so it was a very strategic move to kind of distract people by announcing this. Now, is it a problem? Definitely. And I think that it's pretty hypocritical of the United States to want to deport the children or to detain them when they're here in the United States. So they migrated in the first place because of U.S. foreign policy in Central America and destabilizing governments and destroying economies. And so based on that solely, the United States and President Obama should allow them to have asylum and or legal status, because as a way of reparations for all the damage that the U.S. has done in Central America and Mexico.
That's right. Once again, you are tuned in to KPFA. We're talking with Francisca Porchas, and she's out in Arizona telling us about an event that's going to be taking place, you said, Thursday, April 23rd?
Mm-hmm. April 23rd, Thursday. It's going to be an event marking the last 5 years of resistance against SB 1070 here in Arizona, but also marking the fact that we have resisted across the country. With all the copycat laws that passed or that were proposed and then were passed, and then we could keep resisting against the criminalization, incarceration, and deportation of our people.
And, you know, recently there was also a court decision, I think, that came through that literally annulled the other legislation that the other folks were trying to put in, all the other the states that were coming together and are anti-immigrant against this bill that's being passed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 26, so Obama obviously announced his executive action for 4.5 million people to get legal status, and 26 different states sued Obama, saying that he didn't have a right to do this. And so, unfortunately, they sued in Texas. They did that strategically because they know that Texas is a pretty right-wing state and that they would have right-wing judges. And so So unfortunately, the judge ruled that Obama essentially doesn't have a right to do that. And then Obama asked for a stay, meaning that while the case is resolved, that he wanted the process to continue. And so, unfortunately, it was submitted to the same judge, so the same judge denied it. And so now it's being heard at the Fifth Circuit. So Obama has appealed to the Fifth Circuit, saying, "We want you to review this decision, and we think it's wrong. And we actually feel positive. We think that the Fifth Circuit will uphold it. If it doesn't uphold it, well, then we feel like the Supreme Court will uphold it, because Obama has every right to issue an executive action. Presidents have set this example before, Reagan and Bush Senior, and even Bush Junior, issued like 35 different executive actions around immigration. It wasn't as broad sweeping and didn't legalize 4.5 million people, but there's precedent already set that makes this valid, and that shows that the president has the power to do this.
That's right. And, you know, the other thing that is concerning to folks is the fact that there's never any undocumented folks at the table when these decisions are made. You know, like, how did they end up getting 4.5 million, you know, like that number specifically? Or, you know, that fact that this is going to be the process for them to make it so that it's harder for anyone to try to get these types of, you know, citizenship process done, you know?
Yeah, so it's the constant debate. I think that it's the constant thing around the deserving and undeserving. So the good innocent, the innocent who is clean, who has no criminal record, who has citizen children, that's the immigrant who is deserving of not being separated from their family, of not having their entire life destroyed, and of being uprooted. And so what we're saying is that all our people are deserving, because they have roots in this community, they have built the community, and they have built a family, and they are part of the community, and that they all deserve to stay. And so it's a way of separating people. And again, it's like the classic debate that even happens in circles right now around criminal, you know, the definition of criminal and the stigma that exists with people that have been criminalized.
That's right, you know, and that brings me to that point where it's like, so when it comes down to being able to make these decisions and being a part of the decision making and making yourself count, we see that in a lot of you know, like, for example, in the Puente actions, we hear a lot of the hunger strikes that are going on. For example, even though folks might not be documented, they're putting their bodies on the line. You know, they're putting folks inside the prison systems of these facilities, these private facilities, most of the time that are locked up, are also joining in a hunger strike as well. I hear from around there somewhere that there's a couple women that are already on a hunger strike, doing a hunger strike inside a prison system right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited that across the country people have chosen to resist inside and outside. And I feel like we follow in the legacy of the Black movement, where they have resisted for decades now, or centuries, really, criminalization and brutalization. So we feel like folks are inspired in those ways, and that a bigger conversation is being it's coming out of this, that talks about the prison industrial complex and how it's benefiting from us, and how there is a real push beyond, you know, obviously the anti-immigrant sentiments, but there's a real push to incarcerate and to fatten the industry, the prison industrial complex industry, and how we must resist and pretty much see our struggles linked, the struggles against the prison state and the police state. linked. And so we feel like we're excited because we think that with more and more people resisting inside and also outside, there's a real opportunity for our Latino community to work with the Black movement overall that's fighting against the prison state and criminalization.
And can you let folks know where this hunger strike is taking place right now with the women?
I don't actually have the details, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to misinform.
No worries, but it's definitely happening. There's a couple women that are already on hunger strike inside of one of these immigration facilities. Starts with the B, and we'll find that out so we can share that with you and give you a link so you can be able to check out the sources. And once again, we want to let you know if folks want to get information about what's happening out there in Arizona, what Puente Movement is doing out there, well, how can they do that?
They can log into puenteaz.org and look for our latest and greatest. They can also follow us on Facebook at Puente Movement. And then also, obviously, anytime that they want to call, we do a lot of work helping people navigate the legal system. We're not attorneys, but we just help them. We set up an office where we help them understand what they're dealing with, if their loved ones are in detention or if their loved ones are being are in a process of deportation. And so if anybody wants to call from anywhere, really, and just ask for advice, and I'm not saying the people that are inside, but mostly other organizations that are interested in doing this type of work, you're also welcome to call us at 602-252-1283.
That's right. And, you know, we just want to end on this point, the fact that, you know, we don't see this vision of, you know, the government, including undocumented folks in this dialogue of immigration reform, you know, and they haven't started even talking about what it would look like if they did come to the table and, you know, we're a part of the conversation as well, right? And so we've seen it in Latin America where, you know, revolutionaries and government military, folks and, you know, entities can be able to sit in one table, even though there's a war going on right outside that door or in their country, even though they might be having peace talks in different parts of the world, the leaders, right? The fact is that if they're able to do it, even though they're using guns and, you know, killing each other in this unfortunate way, right? And at some point they're able to come to a table together and work something out where they can, you know, come out on some sort of common ground, right? Mm-hmm. That's how valuable it is to have folks that are undocumented in this dialogue of immigration reform. It's just like revolutionaries, you know, bringing change to the table, right?
Yeah, completely agree. And just to go back to the question you posed earlier, the women that they did a 1 week, they call it the Holy Week, which was the week of going into Easter. In South Texas, it was 25 women. So they did 1 week of hunger strike, obviously fighting for their liberation from detention. And they're all 25 mothers.
Word. And I heard about one of their stories was that they were, they could have been separated from their kid, but chose to continue the hunger strike as well, right?
That's correct.
So more power to Las Mujeres and everybody inside, you know, organizing and, you know, bringing up the fact that, you know, you should be included in these dialogues and you should be able to, you know, support each other and organize and assemble and protest these injustices that go on in our prison systems, in our immigration facilities, and also in our county facilities as well. As you know, California right here is under human rights violation, I think, for 3 or 4 years now, and they still haven't decreased their populations yet, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do all across the country. There's no doubt about it.
So once again,
only one example.
Yeah.
Arizona's only one example.
That's right. And so once again, you know, Francisca, we want to say thank you to you for all your good work. And most definitely, if folks want to go to the march, if they're out there in the Arizona area, how can they do that?
It's at 3 p.m. Outside of the state capitol. The state capitol is on 17th Avenue in Adams. It's 3 p.m., and we're going to march to the 4th Avenue jail, which is Arpaio's jail.
And again, Arpaio is the one that was kind of like the spearhead, so to speak, of Janet Napolitano as well, and also Jan Brewer, right?
Yeah, Sheriff Arpaio predated them, actually. Sheriff Arpaio has been around for decades, and he was one of the first sheriffs across the country that got really excited about the federal government programs where immigration and customs and police departments could collaborate. So he went full force, probably before any other sheriff in the country, and decided to have raids at workplaces and raids in the streets and all that horrible stuff.
And now he has the Tent City too as well, and most folks are not aware about this Tent City. Can you just describe it for us real quickly before we go?
Yeah, Tent City has been around for over 20 years, and Sheriff Arpaio has been a terrible person for a very long time, so even it predating immigration issues. It literally is the people that are in his jail. It's like literally called Tent City Jail. He has several jails in the county, and it's a space where the inmates are made to wear pink underwear, literally long underwear. They're also wearing the striped, like Southern state outfit, and they're fed really terrible food. They're living literally a daily under tents. They're not necessarily housed inside a jail, but they're living under tents. So it's, to us, it's a form of torture and a form of shaming people who are serving time in Arpaio's jail. So he believes very much in the old Southern way of punishing people.
Wow. And then the facility itself is really horrible too as well, right?
Yes, his jails in general are a terrible, terrible place. A lot of people have said really terrible things, from the food to the conditions to the treatment by the custody sheriffs. He's been sued so much for human and civil rights violations, and so that's why he's one of the most infamous sheriffs in the country.
And that's probably why we have so much corruption going on within our police departments everywhere as well. So something to consider.
Yeah, we're just one example of many.
Word. And I just wanted to make sure, because I've heard that Tent City also just has like gates and, I mean, fences, right? Fences that are like literally, there's no walls, right? Is that right?
No. So they're exposed to the cold and they're exposed to the heat, which in Phoenix, Arizona, it could get up to 120 degrees sometimes. So it is, in our opinion, a form of torture.
But again, it doesn't have no walls, right? No walls.
No, they're tents. They're little tents. They're in a gate, right? There's fence all around, but they are sleeping and living under tents.
Wow, crazy. And unfortunately, again, even Obama hasn't done anything about this situation or the Supreme Court. And we see that, you know, maybe is it everybody, does every other county has to wear the same uniform as well, too?
No, this is very much about Maricopa County and Sheriff Arpaio's practice and culture inside the department.
Wow. And they let him get away with it. Seriously, that's why folks need to get out there on Thursday, April 23rd. Again, this is someone that's really violating his badge and stepping over that boundary. And unfortunately, there's no other sheriffs around, I guess, that are stepping up and standing up to him. As we say, you know, normally somebody would say, hey, you know, that's enough, you know, like in your workplace, if you were really stepping out of the boundary, you know, but unfortunately we haven't seen that within 5 years, right?
Right, yes.
And even though he has been to court, he still hasn't gotten fired. Weird.
Well, he's elected. Unfortunately, we live in a very reactionary place here in Maricopa County. So he's been reelected again and again.
Wow. Well, definitely we appreciate you for doing all this good organizing and letting us know and getting us informed on this issue. Because, again, we know he's been around for a long time. And, you know, we got to start informing folks about this situation, too, of what's happening in Arizona. Because it did spread like wildfire and it still can, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Right on. Well, once again, gracias por estar con nosotros, Francisca. And my name is Pedro Reyes. We'll be right back after this quick music break. Stick around because this is KPFA 94.1 FM.